Pasuk Beis, Rus Pasuk Beis, Perek Aleph Pasuk Beis, V'shem U'ish Alimelech, V'shem Yishtoi Noami, V'shem Shnevanav Machlein, V'chilyon Efrosim, Yibes Lechem Yehuda. Okay, notice the psukim, you can right away take note that the psukim are very long in Sefer Rus, compared to what we're used to from Sefer Mishlei. They came to Stebov and they were there. Let's see over here right away the Rashi. Rashi says, okay, let's review the translation of the Pasuk, just simple translation. The name of the person referring back to Pasuk Aleph was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi, and his two children, their names were Machloim V'Chilyoin, and they were Ephrosim. What does it mean they were Ephrosim? So Rashi tells us two interpretations. Number one, Ephrosim Chashuvim. Ephrosim means nothing more than they were distinguished. They were Negidim, they were princes. Does not refer to the fact they came from Shevet Ephraim. It just means they were Chashuvim. V'chein, we have a pasuk in Shmuel Ben Tucho. Ben, so not sure those are the correct vowels. Dr. Fruchter, welcome back. Shalom Aleichem. Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov.
Tuchu.
Mazel Tov. Shalom Aleichem.
Bring any cake back?
Customs men have a cake.
Okay, Ben Tuchu, Ben Suf Ephrosi.
Tohu,
Ben Tohu, Ben Suf Ephrosi. Ephrosi means, there's a translation in the French word, it means whatever that word is, it means a distinguished individual. Does not mean Shevet Ephraim, it just means nothing more than a distinguished individual. Ro Chashivuso, Sharei Hesi Egda. What's the Chashivus? What is the uniqueness about his stature? Re'ei chashivuso, look at his stature. Sharei hisi egloin melech moyav es bitoy lemachloin. Because the king, this is now we're going, who exactly was Rus and Arpa? So according to the Rashi, egloin melech moyav, egloin the king of moyav, he gave over his daughter Rus. Rus was the daughter of egloin, some say Arpa as well, were daughters of the king of Moab, and he gave over his daughters to Elimelech to as wives. Egloin Melech Moav as Bita leMachloin. His daughter here, Rashi only says it was Rus was given to Machloin. The Amar Mar Rus Bitoi Shel Egloin Hayisa. She was the daughter. Some learn it's not to be taken literally. It means he was the granddaughter or the great granddaughter or the descendant of Egloin. Period. Okay, so that is the first interpretation. Dover Acher, Ephrosim, Beis Lechem, Kiruya, Ephros, Beis Lechem is Kiruya, it's called Baderech Ephros, he Beis Lechem. Yaakov Avinu, he buried Rachel, Baderech Ephros, he Beis Lechem, it's a name of a location. Beis Lechem doesn't mean from Shevet Ephraim, because they were not from Shevet Ephraim. They were. They cannot possibly be because we know they came from Shevet Yehuda, Beis Lechem Yehuda. So it just means it was Ephros. It was the name of the place. The place calls Derech Ephros. He Beis Lechem. Okay, now going back to the first interpretation, Ephros means they were Chashuvim. Why would the word Ephros refer to a Chashivus? So the Mefarshim explained because of the bracha of Ephraim and Menashe. When Yosef Hatzadik gave over his legacy, gave over the bracha to when Yaakov gave over the bracha to Yosef, he called forth Ephraim and Menashe, Sikeles Yadav ki Menashe habuchar, and he gave the bracha to Ephraim. He rested his right hand on Ephraim to show Ephraim, you are going to be Zaro Yim Eloi Hagoyim, that you are going to receive the ultimate bracha. Klal Yisrael took that event very seriously. And they always used, anytime an individual would want to express something in terms of Hashivos, they borrowed that event as just like Yaakov gave the bracha to Ephraim, to make Ephraim Choshev, more than Menashe. This is how people would describe an event that was Choshev. It's like Ephraim. And it became a term, it became a borrowed term, and that's why the word Ephraim, or the shorter from Ephrosim, became a code for Hashivos. Okay. We also know that also you can say Hashivos is that it represents the Ovos. Another, because we know the Baalei Tosfos explain that Ephraim is a code name for, we've discussed this many times, it's a very popular idea, for all three Ovos. Avraham and Yitzchak. Why? Because both Ephraim is the plural of Efer. Avraham said the Anochi Ofer vo Efer, and Yitzchak said Yitzchak was meant to be turned into Efer, the Ephroi shel Ayil. After the Akedah, Avraham offered an Ayil in exchange for Yitzchak, and that Ayil was a burnt offering, and the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the Efer of that Ayil before him, Tzavar Lefanav, the ashes piled before him, and remembers the Akedah continuously before him. So Yitzchak is also described as the Ephraim Shal Ayil, the ash of the Ayil. So we take
the bracha that you see in the title with someone putting hands on.
Yeah. Ephraim and Menashe.
Right.
Yeah. So they see Hashivas. You see there Hashivas. So you see Hashivas. So this gets so the word Ephraim is doubling of Efer. A doubling of Efer refers to Avraham, refers to Yitzchak. Efer is something that is insignificant. But ein miut achamiut el l'rabbis. When you deal with two miutim, it comes to be marbe Hashivas. Okay, well, let's leave it with that. Let's see the Targum. The Targum pasuk beis v'shum. Pasuk Beis, the Targum, the Shum means the name. Gavra of this Ha'ish, the individual, his name was Elimelech. The Shum, it is said the name of his wife was Naomi. The Shum, the name, Terein bin Ohi of his two sons, were Machloin v'Chilyoin. Ephrosin. What does it mean, Ephrosin? They were Ephrosin. Ephrosin. So here the Targum adds one word, Rabbonin. Rabbonin means they were. They were distinguished. Rabbonim, he adds here this one word, Ephrosim Nigidim. The word Rabbonim is an Aramaic word for princes. The Targum is adding a word into the translation. Min Beis Lechem Yehuda, Va'aso Ad Chakal Moav. They arrived, they came into the field. Chakal means the field of Moav. V'havot Hamon, they were there. And they were there. Tamon Roy Filin, they were there. Chashuvim. So the Targum, there are two things that the Targum is adding, especially at the end of the pasuk. When they arrived in the city of Moav, in the stay Moav, Vayihiyu Sham. It appears that the Targum has making a drasha. Don't read it Sham, but read it Shame. They made a name for themselves. When Elimelech, Naomi, Machlon, Kilion arrived in the fields of Moab, they were celebrities. People lined up for brachas. People lined up with a reputation. People came and lined up for autographs. Vayihi Yusham, they were there. Don't read about Yihu Yusham, Vayihi Yusham. They had a reputation. That's seemingly what the Targum is coming to learn from the word of Yusham. Roy Filin means Chashuvim. They were distinguished individuals. Here in this sefer I have that translates it from Aramaic to Hebrew. It translates the word Refilim to Chashuvim. And the other, again, just to review the other word, the other things that we have to, the other perish that the Targum gave us is when it says they were Ephrosim. The Targum is learning like the first translation of Rashi that Ephrosim means Chashuvim. It means, what was the word again? The Beis Lechem Basoch Rabbonin. Rabbonin, they were distinguished people. So we have here really in the Targum two different words for Hashivos, Rabbonin and the word Roy Filin. Okay, now there are a couple of issues. Number one, Farshim, they make the following point. Why is it that in the Pasuk Aleph, when we describe the departure of Elimelech, is he described as an Ish? Vayihi bimei shefot ha-shaftim, vayihi rab aretz, vayelech Ish. He left, and his wife and his two children. And Pasuk Beis, it elaborates. Who was the name of the person? His name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. The children was Machla and Vichla. Why is it in Pasuk Aleph were their names anonymous? And now in Pasuk Beis, they're specified, their identity is revealed. The Psukim here are written with enormous precision. It could have just summarized the entire thing in one shot. It could have just told us their name. If anyway we want to tell us their name, just say their name right away. So it's a very frightening Medrash. The Medrash says is that the first Pasuk was said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the midas of rachamim, and the second pasuk was said by the midas hadin, the bezin shalmaila, the mekatrigim. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not yet want to hold them accountable for the sin of leaving Eretz Yisrael. Hashem went light. Like you hear sometimes in the news, there are rumors that someone committed a crime, and they don't want to specify who the person is. You give the person a little bit of a chance to tshuva, maybe somehow the person can wiggle. An alleged suspect, and he can wiggle his way out of it. He right away hears the news reports, they're hot on his case, as a ganef, so maybe if he'll go and he'll return the money right away, okay, so things will quiet down, and no one will discover his identity, and he'll do tshuva, and everything will be forgiven. But if the person persists, and he says, no, I don't care, I didn't do anything wrong, and he maintains innocence, and then people start making more investigation, then they have no choice, the prosecution has no choice but to come forward and say, this is the name of the criminal, watch out. He's a ganef, he's going to steal your money, he's going to cause you harm, you're in a lot of trouble. So this is a very powerful message that the Pasuk is telling us, the derech goes on in Shemayim. In Shemayim, they're not looking for trouble. They're not looking to put people to make trouble for people. They're trying to give people a chance. They sense when he said we got a problem here. There's a person here who has done an avera, he has abandoned his people, he's a great man, he didn't want to support his people. Maybe he'll come to his senses. Maybe he'll realize his avera. But as time passed and nothing happened, so the prosecution, the Bezin Shalmai, the Mekadrigim said, no, we have to now take action, we have to go tell the world who this person is, and be medactic with him for his Aveira. And that's why his name has now come to light. And there's a lot of discussion, what is the significance of their name? So we mentioned yesterday, Elimelech means Eli Melech. Elimelech was a very great person, he recognized that he was destined for greatness. He was destined for greatness, that the Malchus would come this during the time of the Shoftim, but he already had a sense that Malchus was meant to come soon, and it was going to come from him. That's why Eli Melech. Naomi, Chazal tell us, Ma'asecha Ni'imim. The reason why she was called Naomi, her deeds were pleasant. She was a pleasant person. Ni'imim. And the Darshanim tell us Naomi is Nutrikin Mikabetz Nitche Amo Yisrael. Okay, Naomi is not in the correct order, but it represents that she, Melech, what is the role of Melech HaMashiach? The Melech HaMashiach is to Mikabetz Nitche Amo Yisrael, to bring back all of the sparks of holiness throughout the entire world. That's the primary role of the Melech HaMashiach, besides being Orla Amim. And through Naomi came Malchus, and that's why it's hidden in her name. Machloin the Kilyoin. So Machloin means forgiveness. Lashon of Mechila. And Kilyoin means, Kiloya means, good morning. It means destruction. And here, the Mepharshim explained that these two individuals did a very big avera by leaving Eretz Yisrael. However, Machloin was ultimately forgiven. Ultimately, he was forgiven in the Olam HaEmes because of Rus. Okay, we have.
See, it happened because
right. His name was restored. Exactly. That when Boaz married Ruth, the child was named after Machloin. So Machloin had a merit. I'm not sure we know exactly why he had more than the other person. Kilyoin, it does. Adarab, it says that Kiloy, that he was completely destroyed. That he died. He had no children, and his neshama was whatever this means. That he there was Kiloy for him. He was married to Orpah. And Orpah obviously was not a very, she did not return, she She went away from Rus. From her came Goliath, the nemesis of David HaMelech, and he was mecholif and megadif in the worst way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Goliath. And therefore you see that a lot of a person's success has to do with his wife. That's one of the main lessons you learn over here from Rus, is that they have two people, they were both seemingly the same, Nachlin the Kilyain. Nachlin was zecher to a wife, Rus, and Rus saved him in the next world. He died, he did the Avera, there was nothing that could be done for him, he had to die, he had no children, but Rus, ultimately, she remarried, she came part of Klal Yisrael, she had what was, so to speak, a Yibum. It wasn't a real halachic Yibum, but there was a child called after his name and he was forgiven, whereas Kilyain, nothing came from him. His wife, Orpah, she did him in. She did not become part of Klal Yisrael, and nothing, he was completely destroyed.
That's not the only interpretation of Machlin.
Yeah, so Machlin, others say Machlin means what was the interpretation?
I have
Shenimch also. Another interpretation is Machlin means that he was obliterated. Shenimch is second interpretation, that he was completely obliterated from the world. Okay, and in fact, let me read you the Medrash. There are two other names given for them in Divrei Hayamim. In Divrei Hayamim, I mean,
don't they say that
that was the night after she went away? We're coming to that. That's premature. We'll get to that soon. We'll come to that soon. But let me read you the Chazal's Machlokes, what exactly their names really were. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, here it is. Okay, let me read this Chazal. My Oitzah Midrashim here, it's in a different Seder. It's a little bit more difficult to find all the Maram Kamas. Okay, here, let's see. This is a Gemara Masech Bava Basra Naft Sadi Aleph on the base. I'll read you the word of the Gemara. Dover Acher. It says here in Sefer in Rus. Machloin v'chilyoin. And it says in Divrei Hayamim, Aleph, Perek Dala Pasach of Beis, Yoash v'Sarof. Asher Boalu Lemoaf. So the question over here is, we have two different, and the Chazal say these two are the same people. Machloin and Kilyoin are the same as Yoash and Sarof. So what's the obvious kasha? Which one is the real name? Which one are the real names? And which two names are the nicknames? So it's Machloikis. Like all good things in life, it is a machlokes. So here goes. So machlokes, Rav Shmuel. Chadamah once says, Machloin v'chilyon hu shemam. Their real names were Machloin v'chilyon. V'lam v'nikru shemam, what are they called? Yoash and Saraf. Yoash, because shenis Yoashu min hagu'ula. Machloin gave up. He gave up, he thought it's never going to happen, the Mashiach's going to come, it's never going to happen, there's going to be salvation, there's a famine, there's a tzara, there's no hope. Saraf, why was Kilyon called Saraf? Shenis chayvu sereifa lamakam. He was worse. His sin was greater than, not just that he had yeyosh, he did things that were worse, doesn't say what he did, and he was chayv sereifa lamakam. That's according to one opinion. The other opinion says just the opposite. Their real names were Yoyosh v'Saraf, v'lamanik v'shma machloin v'chilyoin, machloin, shena'asu gufon chulin. Machloin comes from lav chilul. Shechilu esatzman bezeh, they made themselves mundane by marrying non-Jewish girls. Rus and Orpah, according to most commentators, they were not, and obviously they were not Jewish at the time, but they did not necessarily even go through a gerus. So they made their bodies, they made his body chulim by marrying this woman. Chilyoin sheneschayvu kiloya lamokoyim oschayv kloya lamokoyim, destruction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a very beautiful brisker off. I believe it's the brisker. The brisker off says as follows. We know that there are four different madrigals in this world. Adoimim, Tsoimeach, Chai, Medaber. The lowest object in this world is Adoimim. A stone, the earth, things which inanimate object, there's no life whatsoever. The next madrega is a tzomeach, something which grows from the ground. The third madrega is a chai, a living creature. There's life. And then comes a human being. It's not just life, it's intelligent life. It is a medaber. So Chazal tell us that the truth is they are not just four madregos, there's a fifth madrega. And the fifth madrega is Yisrael. Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is not just a medaber, it's a medaber that has accepted the Torah, and it's an entirely different madrega above the category of medaber. So sach hakol, we really have five madregos. Doimim, Soimeach, Doimim, Tzmeach, Chai, Medaber, and then comes Yisrael. So the Bris Groves makes the following observation. What happens when, let me give you an example. Let's say a person, he flunks out of 12th grade. So what happens? He has to take 12th grade to do it again. If you don't go to one Madrega, you fall back a Madrega, or you have to repeat this, the Madrega a second time. What happens when the Tzoymeach, the second form, the second level, withers? Does the Tzoymeach turn into a Doimeim? No. It disintegrates, it turns into nothing, it disappears. What happens when the Chai disappears, when the Chai dies? Does the Chai turn into a Tzoymeach? No. When an animal dies, it disintegrates. It disintegrates, it's not a Tzoymeach, and it's not even a Doimeim. What happens when a medaber, when a human being passes to the next world? Also, it doesn't turn into a medaber. When a medaber dies, when a human being dies, he doesn't turn into an animal. He doesn't turn into a plant, and he doesn't even turn into a doimim. The body, ultimately, even the bones, there comes a point in time when the bones also disintegrate into dust. Rekev shalat samos, there's nothing. There's absolutely the stone. We have the stones that today that exist are the stones of Maaseh Bereishis. A tzomeach is a tzomeach. So when you go up each madrega, the madrega is a higher madrega, but it comes with a price. The price is that when that madrega does not maintain its chashivos, it completely disintegrates. The same is true with regard to the fifth madrega of Yisrael. One can argue, I'm a Jew, I was born a Jew, I was given the Kedushas Yisrael, but you know, it's not so easy to keep to the program. It's hard for me to observe the Tayag Mitzvahs. So you know what? I'm willing to just to go down one madrega and be a medaber. If you have a person who's a Yisrael, has Kedushas Yisrael, and doesn't want to live a religious and observant life, I'll be like a guy. I'll be a medaber. I'll be no worse than the Umos HaOlam. The Brisker Rav says, just like you see in the four Madregas, if you don't maintain your Chashivas in that Madrega, you don't fall down one notch. You completely disintegrate. You disappear off the face of the earth. The same is true when it comes to Klal Yisrael. There's no deal. Hashem did not cut a deal with Klal Yisrael that by going off from a Medaber to a Yisrael, that if we don't want to be a Yisrael, we can go revert to being a Medaber. If we don't hold to the program of a Yisrael, we completely are obliterated, we completely fall off the face of the earth. Klal Yisrael does not exist. It's all or nothing. And the Brisker Rav says that's rooted here in the word of Kilyon. Kilyon, he was part of Klal Yisrael. He was a distinguished member of Klal Yisrael. He was an Ephrasi, an Odom Choshev, a Negid, a Refilin, one of the Refilin. And he decided, enough, it's a famine, there's nothing more to do in Eretz Yisrael, I have no Mokom here, I'm going to leave, I'm going to make Yerida, I'm going to go to Moab and start a new life in Moab. Hashem said, what you think in Moab, you're going to take away the statue of being a Yisrael, and you're just going to go down to the Madrega of being a Medaber. Kaloya. Kaloya means you'll disintegrate, you'll fall off the face of the earth. You won't exist altogether. And this is a mashal for Klal Yisrael. Scary Vart, and this Vart comes from the Brisker Rav. Okay, so we have over here.
But we see that many Jews go off the Derek and they become just...
No, so it must then be that it's a revelation. They're really maintaining a spark of Kedusha. They really hold themselves to be Jewish. You don't realize it. There's been a study that many people who claim they're atheists are not really atheists. They say it. They don't even know what they're saying. But when you dig deep into their beliefs, they're not really atheists. Okay, well, the polling is nonsense. Dvarim b'talem. All the polls that you see, every poll that you see, anything, politics, you got to take with a grain of salt. There's always a lot more behind how you identify yourself. So Baruch Hashem, what?
You can always do tshuva. That's not.
Of course, Hashem to a point.
You think you can go down a step? You're not going down a step. You're either Yisrael
or you're nothing.
Either Yisrael.
Hashem is patient. Hashem is patient. Hashem gives a person time. Hashem, nothing happens overnight. A person can maintain the degree of kedusha. So this is a process, but there's always hope. Okay, now another very important thing. Someone actually mentioned this yesterday that over here the sin was gradual. The pasuk Bey says the name of the person that would happen. They went. They went. Vayavo stemo vayihiyu sham. Here is the chait. Originally in pasuk Aleph, their plan was lagur. They only wanted to go there temporarily until the famine subsides, until there's some relief. But once they got there, they suffered the slippery slope syndrome. Starts off a little avera, the Yetzar tells you, just do this little avera. And then once he got you do that avera, you do the next avera. And before you turn around, you're doing things that you never in a million years would have imagined you would have been finding yourself doing. And that's exactly what it says, Vayiri Yusham. They settled, they were comfortable, and they had no plan on going anywhere else.
Okay.
What? Right, the fact that it says Vayusham, they wanted to become permanent members. They got citizenship. They became residents. They settled there, and that's all part of the chait. That's part exactly. It wasn't just a green card. They became actual citizens. Okay, now another point the Mepharshim should make over here, they learned this a little more of a halakhic Indian, is here Patsik Beis, it says Vishem Ishtoi. Here we identify V'shem Ishto Naomi V'shem Shnei Vanov. We put Elimelech, we don't separate Elimelech from his wife to the same degree that we separated him in the Pasuk Aleph. In Pasuk Aleph it says V'yelech Ish V'yestach Yehuda, who, him, the Ishtoi. There's an Ish. And in between the ish, we say who the ishto. There is a connotation of separation. In pasuk Beis, v'shem ishtoi. The degree of separation is less. There's v'shem ish Elimelech, v'shem ishtoi. There's a natural relationship between man and wife. Whereas in pasuk Aleph, it says there's an ish, and the ish who. The man, the ishtoi, the word who has a connotation of separation. Why is that so? Because in Pasuk Aleph, they were still living in Eretz Yisrael on their way out. And when they left Eretz Yisrael, there was a famine. Chazal tell us that during times of famine, the person is not allowed to have children, is not allowed to be with his wife. And we learn from Yosef. Yosef had two banim, b'terem tovo ishnas hara'of. Because during times of famine, you're not allowed to bring more children into the world. That will be a burden to the world, a burden to suffer. But here now they lived in Moab, and in Moab there was plenty, there was food. That's why he was able to resume his regular marital relationship with his wife, and that's why it's described here in this form. Okay, let's go to
said about the second pasuk is din. The first pasuk says Vayelech Ish Lagur. He went, as a ger, as a stranger. And the second pasuk says Vayavoyu Vayiyu Sham.
Right.
All of them came
together.
And they came.
They settled.
They didn't come lagur.
Right. That's what we said. We actually said that. That's what we explained that. The pasuk Aleph is lagur, and pasuk Beis is with the chait, the slippery slope. Now they actually decide to become residents, and that's why the midas hadin now came upon them, and we have to identify them by name and specify their problems. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Gimel. Vayamos Elimelech Ish Naomi. Elimelech died, Ish, the husband of Naomi. Vatishoer hi ushnei bonecha. She remained alone with her two children. Rashi, Pasuk Gimel. Ish Naomi, Lama Nemar. Why does it say the word Ish Naomi? Let it just say, Vayamos Elimelech. What's the ish?
We already identified him.
So the answer is Mikan Amru Ein Ish Meis Ela LeIshtoi, telling us a very frightening concept that when a person dies, people forget very quickly. They forget, yeah, so and so. They'll maybe have an obituary. They'll maybe have a shloisha, maybe a yard site, and that's it. It's off the charts. But the almana lives with the tzara daily. Ein ish meis ela leishtoi, and that's why it says in the parentheses, Ve'omar ish Naomi kolaymar lefishu hoya ish Naomi. He was now. Okay, I'm sorry. That's going to another interpretation. That's the part. One shot is ish means the husband of Naomi. Naomi is the one that felt the loss more than anyone else. Then Rashi goes on to say in the parentheses, why did only he die? Why didn't Naomi die? She also sinned by leaving Eretz Yisrael. The Amar Ishnami Kol Malafi Shohu Hoya Ishnami V'Shelit Alecha. He ruled upon her. He dominated. V'hi Tefel Alo, and she just had to follow orders. He wore the pants. A very, very bizarre situation. Husband and wife, where the husband's in control, and not the wife. And therefore, he was responsible. And therefore, the midas hadin affected him more than Fuloiba, not her. Okay, there are numerous Amari Chazal that tell us that she also suffered because she should have made a macha. There was midas hadin. There's a medrash that says that even in the situation where a couple or family does an avera as a whole, if one member of the family makes a macha, protests, and objects to what's being done, then that's enough to be mevatel the gzeira ra. In this case, when they left, she was silent. She, Chazal, hold her accountable partially, and her two sons, that they did not object to the plan of Elimelech to leave Eretz Yisrael, even though ultimately they would have no choice, they would have to follow his wish no matter whether they liked it or not, but they should have given a krechs, they should have given they should have objected at least to some degree that it's not the right thing to abandon the people and to leave the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the next Rashi says, "Gam shnehem, she." And that's the next pasuk. Okay, the Dibur Maslo is the next pasuk. Let's see over here the Targum pasuk Gimel. Umis Elimelech Baala de Naomi. Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. The Ishtaras he Armila. Here the Targum adds in the word an Almana. Almana is always is a term which always brings sympathy, empathy. Utre bin Aha, and her two sons were Yasmin, were Yisaimim. Okay, to an emphasis, it wasn't just Stam that, okay, her husband died, and now she's on the market. She's on the market now for a new shirach. And her two sons, Sanu, so the two sons, they're adults, they can survive on their own, they don't need their father forever. No, it says over here that in this foreign land, everything depended upon Naomi, and now they were vulnerable with this very harsh term called an almana and a yisaimim. Something this is the point of the Targum adds. That is a beautiful drush. The drush is vatishoer hi. Until now, she was called the ish Naomi. She was the wife of. The wife of Elimelech, and her name was Naomi. Naomi means pleasantness, ni'imus. Now that her husband died, her pleasantness dissipated. She wasn't such a happy camper. She wasn't Naomi anymore. All that was left was just Vatishoer he. Her physical being is what remained. Her title, her name, her reputation of Naomi, that was gone. That's what the pasuk coming to tell us of Vatishoer he. All that was left was just the person, but the whole happiness of the person, that went away with the death of her husband. And, fine. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. Vayisu lechem. So here she had two sons. So two sons will now look for a shidduch. Vayisu lechem noshim moyavios. So these two sons, Machlon and Kilion, they married two noshim moyavios, two noshim from the land of Moab. Shem lachas Orpa, v'shem hashinis Rus. So here we're finally introduced to Rus. Vayishu sham. They lived there for ke'eser shanim, for approximately 10 years. Rashi. Rashi, we have Gam Shneim is going on. Okay, that's Pasuk Hey. Okay, let's see the Targum. Pasuk Dalit. Va'avaru al Gezeras Mamra de Hashem. Okay, so here we have some very frightening words of the Targum. They transgressed, they violated the Gezerah, the law of Hashem. Unisivu lohoin nishin nuchro, and they married non-Jewish girls. Okay, the Targum here does not mince words. He seems to say that it was an aver what they've done. Min binos moyav. From the daughters of Moab, Shom Chad Arpa, Vishom Tiniesarus, Bas Egloin, Malka de Moyov. So Targum says who was Rush? She was the granddaughter, Bas Egloin, Malka de Moyov, Visivu, and they lived Samon there, Kizman, approximately Asar Shanin, approximately 10 years. Now, why was Egloin Melech Moav? Why did he marry to have a granddaughter to enter into Klal Yisrael? So Chazal tell us because he took four steps. He took four steps in honor of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. When Ehud, in the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, he stood up. He stood up and he walked. He walked toward him a few steps, and in the merit of. This noble act, he was rewarded that his descendant had a standing up.
Four steps for somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay, let me find what it says over here.
He didn't say may I.
But Egel to get up.
Okay, in the merit that he stood, then the Melech Eglon, when Ehud said Ehud wanted to assassinate him, and he said Dvar Hashem Elai, he stood up in honor of standing up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was rewarded that his granddaughter or great granddaughter that took place at the very beginning of Sefer Yoshua, and here we're dealing during the time of the Shoiftim. So we're dealing over here. So it's not muchach that it was his daughter. It would appear from the timeline that it was more like his granddaughter or his great granddaughter. That's what the Farshim say when it says if your bat's not taken literally, it means greater than different. That merit, so Yisrael Kadosh Baruch Hu does not deny a person reward for a good deed in his ever. That's okay. So these Vayeshu Sham now Keeser Shanim, they did not have children. So Chazal said that a person does not have children. This is he has an obligation. Tam Chazal to divorce his wife. And this also contributed to their sin. And Machal and Kilian, they did not divorce. They should have taken this as a sign from above that it's not proper what they have done to marry non-Jewish girls. And therefore, that's why now we'll go to Pasukei, Vayimusu Gam Shnehem. They both died. Machloin v'chilyoin, Vatisho'er ha'isha, Mishnei Yelodech u'meisha. And the only one that was left was Naomi. Naomi, who her husband had died, and now her Yelodeha, her sons. Okay, let's see Rashi. Vayimusu gam shneihem. Rashi back says mahu gam. What's the gam? The word gam is extra. Rashi says b'tchilu loku b'moynem u'mesu gimaleim u'megneim v'achar kach mesu gam heim. That it was a gradual decline. First they lost their assets. Chazal say Oni Choshuv Kimes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to take the life of Machlein V'Chilyoin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu first hinted to them that they should do tshuva. Hashem took away their assets, L'mala Miderech HaTeva. And that should have been a sign to them that they're dying. And they did not take the sign, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them as well. That's why it says the word Gam. Eov also, he lost first his wealth, and then he lost his children. And then he lost his health. Now the Mefarshim asked the question, what about Machloin V'Chilyoin? And what about Elimelech? Elimelech, we don't have this Chazal. Elimelech, he died suddenly. Elimelech did not first lose his assets and then lose his life. He lost his life immediately. Only Machloin V'Chilyoin do we have this drasha. First they lost their assets and then they lost their lives. So the Mefarshim said because the sin of Elimelech was much greater. Was much greater because he was the leader. He was the one that bore that had the ultimate responsibility for the family leaving the area. Therefore, when it comes to a horrible sin, there is no rachmanis. The sin, the punishment is meted out immediately without any warning. On the other hand, someone that's not really responsible, he's only an accessory. It's only indirect. The sin, so there it's much more gradual. It's first gam, first their assets, and then came, then they died. That is a very interesting diuk. Okay, do we do the suddas? I'm sorry, into the targum. The targum says, let's see, pasuk in the targum. Va'al da'avadu al gezeras memro de Hashem, because they violated the word of Hashem. The is chatanu ba'amimin nuchroin. And they married, intermarried, is Iskita'u yemehon, their days were cut off. Their days nichus, it means nichus to their days, umis aftar vehoin, and they both died. Machloin the chilyoin, ba'ara in the land, the ara mi so afta, in the land of that's of tumah, in the contaminated land. It's the very fascinating thing that he's saying, the Targum. This calling the land they died in, they suffered the indignity of dying in a land of tumah, Eretz HaTmeya. Ba'ara misa afta, in the land that's disgusting. The ish te aras itisa, and the woman was left over. Who's the woman referring to? Naomi. Maskila. Maskila means shukula, bereft. Person that loses a close relative is called a maskila in Targum. Mitrain bin Ahof, her two sons. And the armila, mibala, and she was a widow from her husband. So here we have...
Why does the Targum repeat this twice? Also in the beginning of Dalet also, he says the same thing.
That she died. So he asked the question on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, why does it say over here?
It doesn't say that. It says, the Israel Nashon the Targum says, the Oral Alo, the Zeres, the Nashon, the Nashon, the Nashon, the Nashon, the Nashon, like the whole sentence.
Okay, so the Pasuk, I don't know the answer. He's just repeating what the Pasuk says. I don't know the answer. Now, so the Targum makes a point.
Perhaps that they were being more, in other words, as what you just explained, that while initially they weren't blamed for what they did, you think maybe because by Yehu Shom, they would be punished for that, but they weren't
no,
punished.
No, the primary punishment was marrying the non-Jewish girls.
So God didn't hold them responsible for moving the Moab. So now, the pride is because they married. Now they're old enough to know what they're doing. They're responsible
saying,
for themselves.
According to the Kabbalah, the Dal is saying, instead of they married, he says they did an Avera, they went ahead and they married.
Right, that's the meaning of that Avera. They were punished for that Avera. For that Avera they were punished. The primary reason for their death was because of the Avera of marrying non-Jewish girls. That was the primary cause for their death. And that included the Gam, they lost their assets. Okay, there are a few important points. Number one, it says over here, and when we take Pasuk Dal and Pasuk Hey together, it makes mention that Naomi mourned for her husband twice. In Pasuk Dal it says... I'm sorry, in Pasuk Gimel it says that her husband, Vayamas Elimelech Ish Noami, Vati Shoher Hi Ushnevna, she remained an Almana, as the Targum says she's an Almana. And now again, in Pasuk Dalet, her sons married, non-Jewish girls. Pasuk Hey, it says now her sons, after 10 years, they died. And it says, Vati Shoher Ha'isha Mishne Yulodech Umeisha. We already know that her husband died. That's old news. The new Chiddush is now she lost her two sons. So why is the Pasuk coming to repeat the fact that she's now in mourning, she's now an almana from her husband? So the answer is that as long as her children were alive, then her husband in her mind was a nechama, her husband in her mind was still alive. Mr. Merz, you can sit over here if you want. But when her children died, it was a double death. It was as if her husband died all over again. There's nothing left. And that's people say, Rahman, people say, hey, you hear this, is that when there's an additional tragedy, the new tragedy causes a person to relive the old tragedy. Opens up old wounds, and it was that much more painful for her.
Maybe that was her punishment also?
That was her her punishment. It's not clear why she was so severely punished. She was tafel. She wasn't the decision maker in the family. There are midrashim that said that she should have made a macha. She protested. She did not protest to the degree that she should have. It was not the right thing to leave her until she knew it. And if she would have told her husband, I don't want to go, you made a big mistake, maybe her husband would have listened to her. So that's why she did suffer to some degree. Farshim also explained that really she also should have died. And the children should have died. But because Elimelech was such a great tzaddik, Elimelech so therefore mitsa tzaddikim is machaper, that the death of her husband at least atoned to the degree that she remained alive, and in the meantime her two sons also remained alive. The two sons really also should have died from the sin of leaving Eretz Yisrael, but because Elimelech was a tzaddik, his mitsa was machaper. It's only now that the two sons Machlon v'Chilion committed an additional violation, additional transgression of marrying the noshim mechuyos, the non-Jewish girls, do they now have to suffer a new death for their their own sense.
Continue your thought process. Everything you say is Machlon Achilion lost their possessions first as a warning. They didn't heed their warning. And well, now Nomi is again. She lost her husband. Warning number one. She lost her sons. Warning number two. You still didn't do anything about it.
So now she's going to decide to go back.
Herself out of the quagmire,
and she's going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. She now finally got the message in a Hanani.
He was the most responsible because
of course Elimelech was absolutely. That's what Rashi says. Rashi clearly says he was the one that was the most responsible for the tragedy.
I've been taking two kids. I mean, what do you think they're going to marry?
In a Hanami, that's definitely true.
He doesn't need a warning. He is who he is, so you know what he's supposed to do.
Okay, now there is a very important deek of Ha'isha Mishnei Vatisha'er Ha'isha Mishnei Yilodeha. All the commentators, they focused on why does it say the word Yilodeha? It should say Mishnei Boneha. A Yelet has a connotation of a child, of an infant, of a toddler. Not of an adult. These are two married adults. They were married for 10 years, so they had to be old enough to get married. So they were at least 23 years old, at least, right? 13 years old to get married. I assume they probably were a lot older, probably 18 years old, at least, maybe 25, whatever they were. And they were married 10 years, and we call them Yiladeha. So there are a number of answers. One answer is that. A child, to a mother. Okay, you want to say that in that approach? That to a mother, even a nine, if she has a son that's 90 years old, it's still called a yelet. It's still her baby. Another answer is that the reason why a child is called a bane comes from the word binyan, a structure. Every child, parent views a child as a legacy. As a binyan they leave over in this world. But when Rachmana Litzlan, the child, is no longer here, there's no binyan. The binyan is horus, it's been demolished. So then in their mind, it reverts back to being nothing more than a yelet. A yelet is just a toddler. He has not yet accomplished anything. When a child becomes an adult and he makes a name for himself and he establishes a family, he then becomes a binyan. So as long as the children are alive, it's a binyan. But since over here, these two children, Machlon V'Chli, they died without leaving children. They died childless. There was nothing left from them. And here they find themselves in a foreign country. They're poor. They're dirt poor. There's nothing. There's no binyan that's been left from these children. So therefore, she reverts back to calling them Yiladim. I've got nothing out of these two children. Another interpretation is that it's coming to tell us that they got kapara. At least, and this is in conflict with what we said before. Machlon V'Chilion, they were destroyed. Kaloya and the Machlon, they made themselves chulin. But according to some, that through their death served as an atonement for their sins. So just like a yelet, a child certainly goes to Olam Haba, a yelet has not done an aver for which he can possibly be chayiv any punishment. Likewise, through their death, they achieve the degree of atonement. Can we also mention over here this very interesting idea of dying in chutz liaretz? They died in an unholy land. Does not say that they were buried. We assume they were buried here as well. And this touches upon the inyan of where a person should die and where he should be buried. They were very, very great tzaddikim who were very makbe. They tried very hard that at least, even though they lived their entire life in Eretz, in chutz liaretz, they would want to die in Eretz Yisrael. They would want that the land, the kiddush of Eretz Yisrael, should absorb their neshama at the time of patir. We have no idea how this thing works, but you do see at least this concept. I know there were great rabbis even today. I remember that someone told me about. I think I'm talking about, is that the Mujzaya? Was that is in your neighborhood? The Mujzaya? Yes, I think he was. I think if I'm not mistaken, he was very, very sick, and he had a very short time left to live. And he got on a plane, and they took him medical transport to Eretz Yisrael, basically to die in Eretz Yisrael. He wanted. There is such a thing. There is such a thing to it. We don't hear about this. We don't hear about this often. It's not practical for the average person, but there is such a thing. And you see it over here hinted to in this Targum, where the Targum says that they'd suffer the indignity of dying in a land that's tameh. And the land of Moab, they came from a holy land, they lived their whole life, and that's where they ended up dying. There's another thing of where to be buried. is an inyan of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. So there's a Yerushalmi. It's a very frightening Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, if you don't live in Eretz Yisrael in your lifetime, don't contaminate the land in your death. It's not the right thing. Today, don't send Eretz Yisrael dead bodies. One thing, if you live in Eretz Yisrael your whole life, and then Rachman, let's suddenly go out to Eretz Yisrael for whatever reason, then the person dies suddenly in Chutz Li'aretz. Okay, you can come back and be buried in Eretz Yisrael. You live there, you devoted your life to Eretz Yisrael. But if you did not devote your life to Eretz Yisrael, and now you just want the benefit of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, according to the Yerushalmi, this is not the right thing to do.
Yeah, but you say, Adam Shem and Dal Aram is buried in Yisrael, it's talking about a cave.
So you have to know. So from the Bavli, it's not mash like this. I heard a very fascinating shiur from Rabbi Reisman. He gave a whole shiur on this topic, and he had a discussion with this Rav Palmer. Palmer is buried here, in Interboro, right along the Jackie Rocky Robinson, right in Mount Judah. And so he said in the shiur, he asked Rav Palmer, and Rav Palmer basically said it's a very big question what to do. Mitzad echad. Numerous Memori Chazal telling us the mildness of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, but Rav Palm said, but there's the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi is all something you take into consideration. If you did not spend your life in Eretz Yisrael, who says you should be Zoicha? You should take it upon yourself to go and buy a property, buy a real estate in Eretz Yisrael to be buried there. You don't have a right to be metame the land with you didn't live there. Al Kiddush Hashem. So you want to be buried there? So again, this is not something. I don't think today
the heter for that was that yeah. Since he's a Rosh Hashiva, he would be leaving his students. So he has a get out of jail free card basically, because he had all his students that he would desert leaving here. So he has right to stay here as long as he has all these followers, and he can't just desert them. So he has a right to stay here and not go until it's over. I mean, that's how they paskin basically.
So, but you really, your heart is in Eretz Yisrael.
Rebbe has a pass to staying here as long as he has a congregation.
So all the Rebbe said
that. Is that why?
We're still here.
Not in Eretz Yisrael because of us.
Okay. Okay, there's another diak in the farshim. I saw in the farshim about tishoer. Tishoer means shirayim. The Dara Pash that as long as her husband and her children were alive, she felt that she was an ikor. She had a place in this world. She had stature. When her husband died, her children died, she was shirayim. She was just soilless, left over, had no life, had no meaning, had no value. It's a very depressing feeling. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Vav. Atakam hi v'chalas.
Here it says there was shirei. First, she lost her role
as a wife, and now she lost her hold as her husband. So he is the shirayim of the shirayim, the leftovers of the leftovers.
Anything that she lost when they married the
shiksas. Yeah.
She felt like she died.
She sat shiva. Shulchan Aruch, it says that if a child Rachmana Litzlan marries a shiksa, you have to sit shiva.
10 years later, first when they died, that's when she was alone. But while she had the two shmurs with the shiksas. Oh. It doesn't say anything.
The guy always had divorced her and didn't done tshuva. But once they were dead, it's too late.
Yeah, but meanwhile, 10 years she had two sisters, daughter-in-laws, and
she was hoping that they would come back.
Okay,
that's why it's hard to say that's why there's a machlokes if they made it was a gerus initial.
Oh, that's a machlokes. According to the Targum, seems to say no. The Targum makes it very clear that it was not there, yeah?
Because at that point, it wasn't thought...
established that it's mutter. They could be. That they allowed, they're accepted. Okay, so that is something. So, but the pasha says that they did not convert. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk vavatakim hi v'chalasech v'toshav b'smistei mayav. So she got up with her two daughter-in-laws v'toshav, and she returned mistei mayav from the fields of Moav. Ki shama b'smistei mayav. She heard in the field of Moav ki fokad Hashem es amo loseis lohem lochem, to give them bread. She heard that things, the situation Israel has changed. Pasuk Vav, there is There is no Levezi Pasuk. There is no Rashi. Okay, there is no Rashi Pasuk Vav. Now the Farshim take note of a couple of things. Let's first before we see the Targum, but Taka means she had a kima. Taka means that this change of this decision to leave Moav brought her a tekima. Her stature shot up. She became a new person. When you make the right decision with to do the right thing, Vatokam, she no longer felt to be a the Shirei Shirayim. She felt now that she had stature. She the Chalos. Now it says Vatokam, she did not ask them for advice because she knew that if she would ask her daughter-in-laws, would you like to stay, would you like to go to Eretz Yisrael, they would say, of course we're not going to stay here, we're not going. This is their native land. The Pemfarshim tell us that she made a wise decision by not even asking them. Because again, if she would ask, she knew what the answer would be. She just picked herself up and she left. She returned mistay. Farshim asks, why does it say mistay b'loshim rab and not b'loshim yachid? The answer is, she owned real estate. She owned multiple fields. Chazal says she owned 10 fields. And she gave up. Can you imagine giving up 10 fields, 10 buildings in Manhattan to go give it all up just to go to Eretz Yisrael to renounce? No,
for the taxes.
She the rent will pay for the taxes. Don't worry. She gave up an enormous amount of real estate in order, even though they were dirt poor, it says, but perhaps their fortune has changed, but she gave up potential to make Parnassah by deciding to leave Moab to return to Eretz Yisrael. Why? She heard B'stei Moab, Kifakar Hashem. Who did she hear from? So some say she heard Miruach HaKodesh. She had Ruach HaKodesh, a Malach told her. She heard, well, some say, still with peddlers. There were people that were peddlers, that were travelers. They told her, we've come from the Holy Land, and in the Holy Land it's Parnassah. The situation has changed. The shekel is strong. Parnassah is good, and that's why, so the divergence of opinion doesn't mean she heard from Ruach HaKodesh, or she heard literally from people. Or some want to say is that she was able to detect that the fact that there was Parnassah to be made in Moab automatically means the Parnassah is there's a chef of bracha in Eretz Yisrael. We every day in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu in the Shemon Esrei, we say v'sabeinu mituvecha or mituva. Or mituva. Some have the word mituva, which means that we should be satisfied from it. From it means from Eretz Yisrael. The focus of Baruch Aleinu as Hashanah says kol minei sivosal l'teva v'sein bracha al pnei ha'adama is primarily on Eretz Yisrael. If there's parnasa in Eretz Yisrael, from there the Parnassah flows to the entire world. This is what Chazal says. It's hard, obviously it's very hard for us to understand what that means, but that's what the Metzias is. The chef of Parnassah first goes from Eretz Yisrael, and from there it trickles down to the rest of the world. The fact that she discovered in Moab things were good, in Moab people were making Parnassah, that was an indication that there was even greater Parnassah to be made in Eretz Yisrael. Because how could there possibly be Sheva Parnassah in Moab if it did not trickle down from Eretz Yisrael?
And that diminishes her mitzvah of going back, because she had ulterior motives. Okay.
That's possible. Okay, let's see here the Targum of Pasuk Vav. Targum of Pasuk just one moment, let me just find the place. Okay, Pasuk Vav says Vekamas he, she got up, Vichalo Soha, and her daughter-in-laws, Vesavas Machle, and she returned. Vesavas means she returned Nechakal from the field of Moav, Arum, because Is Basras. It was announced. Bachakal Moav, there was an announcement made in the field of Moav. Alpum, by who? Here it says, I told you before, Alpum Mal Acha, through an angel. A malach here means an angel told her, Arum that, Dekar Hashem, Hashem has remembered, Yas Amei Beis Yisrael, Lemitan Lahoin Lachma, to give her bread. Now here the Targum adds something very interesting. Why? Begin Zichusei de Avtson Negidah, in the merit of the prayer of Iftson. Who's Avtson? Avtson, what we learn, was Boaz himself. So some say not necessarily. Maybe the Targum over here is coming to disagree with what Rashi quotes. The Ma'amar Chazal do not all necessarily agree. Maybe that Boaz and Avtson were two different people. And Avtson was living currently in Eretz Yisrael, and he was Mispalel. Begin Zuchusei the Avtson Nigido. In his merit, find his merit, the Avsan Nigido, the prince, Uvitzloy say and do to the prayer, whose prayer was this? Tefilos, it simply means his prayer. It simply means prayer of Avsan. You're bringing a look at the word Boaz. Boaz Chasida, Boaz the Chasida, the pious one. So there was Avsan and Boaz. So seemingly.
Avtson is Boaz.
No, it doesn't say that in the Targum. That's not the simple translation.
Who Boaz
Chasida? Who? Vitzli Kodem Hashem. Who? Boaz Chasida. He, Boaz, the pious one. Does you want to say that who is going back on Avtson? Maybe. I'm not so sure.
Who Boaz Chasida?
Otherwise, it's disconnected. What's who Boaz Chasida?
Unless it's referring to
Ifsa. Okay, in the translation that I have here, this is a very choshva sefer. This Sarasi Bamedinas. He does not say that. He says Shvil Tefilosu Shespalol Boaz Hechosid Lifnei Hashem. He does not translate who is going back on Avsan. You're saying an interpretation which might be valid in a Chanami, but it's not muchach. Either the targum simply seems to say that there were two tzaddikim. There was the Shoifet, Avtson, and there was Boaz. The Zechus of Avtson and the Tefil of Boaz together combined to relieve them from the Tzara. You want to say that they are one and the same person, that might be possible. Okay, Pokad also we all know is a term which is used for Geula. That was the code word that was used to Moshe told Klal Yisrael that Mashiach, the Geul, is coming. Here we have history repeating itself. The word Pokad is being used once again to indicate that now the Geul is imminent with the return of Rus Hamoviah and the Ami. The Geula is imminent. Okay, we'll stop over here for today. Okay. Okay, there are more handouts.
So then she would have told her daughter-in-laws we're going back because there's the Iftzan and Boaz there already.
Yeah.
But she didn't say that, and Naomi didn't tell that to Ruth, till they came to the Dayan.
So what's wrong?
So she didn't say this to them. Because if she would have said, she wouldn't have to say it later to Ruth, this is a family, Boaz is our family, don't be afraid to go there. She would have known already now that Boaz was at Tzadik.
I don't know.
Maybe
Ruth at this time did not appreciate all of these things.
Or Naomi didn't say anything. Naomi knew what was going on, but she didn't tell her daughter-in-law that was going on.
I had a thought. I thought about Nura Trigger, but he didn't say this, but I spurred a thought. That if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you could blend in with other Jews without being a big tzaddik, without any punishment of any kind. But once you move to Chutz La'aretz, since God wants you to be an Arla Amin, then you have a responsibility to be an Arla Amin. And once you cross the line and don't act as a good Jew should, then the punishment comes home to roost. Because one has to have that responsibility, a sense of responsibility, that you're standing out now. because you're living amongst other people, you have to act.
Why did they call him Lamed? Why did they call him Lamed? Because every Shaliach Chabad, it's the woman who does the ma'isim that grabs the guy. So she was the first Shaliach Chabad of Chutz La'aretz. And they got punishment.
Mekabetz Yitchei Amo Yisrael.
Your kids have to be even more.
You are the example.
Thank you.